You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to another edition of A Biblical Response. I'm David Frank Hoor, your host. I'm trying to think, who am I? Well, I'm dealing with identity issues today. Also, a voice that isn't working very well, so I'd said I might not be saying much. And then one of the team members said, well, maybe you will anyway, because I know you better than you know yourself.
He said he'd take a bet to see if you really yes, I do. Bet, right? And I laughed because I'm like, yeah. Oh, I might take that bet with you.
Well, we're all going to bet on that one.
We don't gamble here, but you know.
No.
I will say it goes back and forth, and there's now a treatment plan in effect that I saw in ENT this morning. Praise God, he's a good guy, and so it's going to get fixed. But in the meantime, I would like to introduce my co-hosts, and then we're going to get the ball rolling here with our topic for today. Keith Masters, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, David. Good morning.
Good morning.
I promised a sister in Christ that I would say good morning to her, Lee, and her husband, Tat. So
excellent.
We wanted to welcome them
good
to
morning.
The program.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, and thank you for listening.
That is really cool.
And then we hope Terry and Leslie are also paying attention this morning or tuned in, had an opportunity to tune in.
Cool, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So well, let's give them a shout-out.
We're just saying good morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah. And across the way from me, nearly the other end of the room, is Stephanie Jacobson.
Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. It's glad to be here, and welcome to today.
Yeah. Well, it's the only day we get. So use it
it's
as best you
one.
Can.
Yeah.
That's right. Tomorrow hasn't come yet. And it will eventually, probably. If it doesn't, hey, mm-hmm. we know mm-hmm. we're not going to be here. And then, again, last but certainly not least, Ann Limhoco.
So I'm going to say Psalm 118 because I didn't do it on the radio yesterday. And
somebody
goes,
not.
Why didn't you talk about how today is the day the Lord has made? Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Amen.
So
you know,
Psalm 118 is my tagline.
You know how important tradition is to us. So
yeah.
Try not to fail us again. No, it's perfect. All right.
I don't want to fail anyone.
No, you don't fail anyone. You're doing great. And so Ann is actually going to get us going with what we're... And as you can imagine, I will just say the assassination of Charlie Kirk last week has, if you've been paying it any attention at all, you know there's a lot of movement, a lot of things happening, and it's critical right now that, you know, we join the voices celebrating his life, looking at his life and ministry,
mm-hmm.
And more so than we might have done when he was alive, look through the holy microscope of God's eye and God's word to really begin to understand why he had such an impact,
mm-hmm.
not just on the young people, the college-age young people, but on so many others,
mm-hmm.
and honor his life, celebrate his life today. And so I'm going to ask Ann to kick us off.
You know, I was telling my colleagues here that writing this introduction last night was one of the hardest things I had to do because I didn't know what I wrote would properly give honor and respect to such a man of God.
Mm.
I had the honor of seeing him live in person in June of last year. TPUSA Faith, it's his faith component to Turning Point. And he had a big summit in West Palm Beach, and I had the honor of watching him right in front of me and just being part of such this great event. And I was devastated when I learned of it, but this is what I wrote, and I pray that it gives God glory most of all, because through Charlie Kirk's life, we want to all be strengthened and also use his example to be mm-hmm. the courage that he was, because it was Holy Spirit in him that's in us that we can do great things like Charlie Kirk did. And a lot of us are doing those great things. But I think that it's just unleashed a whole new level and more people are coming out. So this is what I wrote. Today, we want to honor the life of our brother in Christ, Charlie Kirk, who was brutally murdered last Wednesday on the campus of Utah Valley University, 10 minutes into the first stop of his 2025 fall American comeback tour. Charlie was murdered in the middle of doing what he did best and what he loved to do and was gifted by God to do, and that was speaking to college students. Charlie, to me, held a PhD in intelligent conversation and reason. He had such a gift of knowing how to converse with people from all points of view, especially with those he vehemently disagreed with. And he welcomed debating all points of view. And he showed respect to each person he engaged with. And he held events all throughout college campuses across the United States to simply answer people's questions. What a heart to just go in the lion's den of college campuses and speak to people. He cared that much about people. At the end of every conversation Charlie had, through his pointed questioning and common sense rationale, he left every person speechless. And that was simply because Charlie brought the plain truth, the plain truth behind every conversation. And the reason why he did what he did was because he desperately wanted each person to come to know Jesus Christ, his Savior. Charlie was passionately in love with Jesus and wanted every person to know him like he did. Only God knows how many people have come to know him because of Charlie, but no doubt, Charlie is in the presence of our Father, the ultimate gift of living a life well lived. Charlie was America's pastor. As we mourn the untimely death of Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk, husband to wife Erica, and doting father to two beautiful young children, there was no doubt that we wanted to dedicate today's show to honoring his life and ministry. We know words cannot suffice on how to properly describe all that Charlie Kirk has done in his very short 31 years of life, and was going to become 32 next month. But something Charlie said not too long ago is what I believe is the most fitting. Months ago, Charlie was asked by someone that if he died, what would he want to be remembered for? And this is what Charlie said. "I want to be remembered for courage for my faith," Charlie quickly responded. "That would be the most important thing. The most important thing is my faith in my life." Charlie showed the utmost courage in living out his faith and doing what he loved to do the most, and that was pointing people to Jesus Christ, one conversation at a time. Charlie, we thank you for being an example for us on how to live our lives on this earth. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you give us the courage to be as bold as Charlie Kirk and to love people well so they will ultimately see Jesus in us as they did in him. Thank you, Lord, for using Charlie to awaken a generation to truth, courage, at truth and courage. May we live out his legacy as we continue to stand for truth and point people to Jesus, also one conversation at a time. He wants to be remembered because of his faith. That was the most important thing. So,
amen.
That speaks volumes.
Well, and I would say, gosh, I hope for myself, I think everyone in this room, we're all born-again believers, and we want the same, you know, to be remembered for our faith and standing firm.
Amen.
In light of it.
Amen. And, you know, sometimes we might get a little zealous with that because of our faith and because of understanding and what God has done in our lives.
Yeah.
And it gets misinterpreted at times.
Yeah.
It gets misinterpreted at times because it's the love that we have for the people around us that we want to share Jesus and what and who Jesus is in our life and who Jesus can be in their life because God loves them and that's why he gave us Jesus.
Amen.
So, you know, Charlie walked boldly in that.
Boldly
in that and showing the world.
Yes,
not just America, showing the world, you know, who Jesus was in his life.
Clearly, he evidenced that not just verbally, but through his actions. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, this is my opinion, that he had a particular anointing on him to do what he did.
Absolutely.
That I don't perceive at this stage in my life that I have the same anointing. I mean, I'm happy to debate with people, but I don't know. Maybe I don't know because God hasn't called me to do it. But when you look at his presence on campuses, mm-hmm. in the videos that we have been able to see over the years, mm-hmm. and have some of the people, yeah, there's a few people that came to him that were actually in agreement with him. So many others were diametrically opposed, mm-hmm. to where he stood on issues of belief, spirituality, and politics. Mm-hmm. But it's in that realm of politics where you get all the spiciness. But his debate ability, willingness to debate, often was met from people on the other side of the argument that had no substance to their commentary. They had nothing to debate with. And so he shut them down. I didn't want to shut them down, but I'm saying he always won them.
He argued with intelligence.
He argued with intelligence.
He argued with intelligence, and intelligence is power. Knowledge is power, mm-hmm. right? God tells us knowledge is power. And Charlie argued patiently and with knowledge.
I wouldn't even know if I would call it argue, maybe. I watched so many reels of his videos. And yes, some of them got pretty argumentative, but right. even when somebody said something that made no sense because it was not truth, Charlie right. would just ask them questions and be mm-hmm. like, so what does that mean? What does it mean to be, transgender?
He also brought it to the attention of the audience that
they weren't
making sense.
Yes.
Because he
yes.
wanted them to know their position. And it's not out of finger pointing. It's out of love. So mm-hmm. that you know, maybe somebody who's thinking of the same thing, somebody who's in the same mindset, mm-hmm. maybe they can see, because now they're out of the forest and they're not looking at the forest through the tree. They're looking at the forest through the trees. They're looking at the forest outside of the trees.
He had a gift to point it back to the person who was speaking and just ask simple questions in a loving way, and the person could not come back with answers. So it caused them to think, you know?
Right.
And then he just left it alone because he made his point, you know? He didn't shove things down people's throats. He, in my opinion, he did it such a respectful respectful way, and it left such an impact.
I thought it was very telling as I've listened to him for years.
Me too.
But I hadn't on repeat. I mean, we've been inundated in less than a week.
Yeah.
I've watched more of what he said, just so I could understand.
Of course.
Coming from two different sides of things and just trying to make sense of what's happened, one thing that really hit me about him personally was that he was very, very intentional. Mm-hmm. He was very intentional. So even naming it Turning Point, that right there has been a moment that now we look back at it and say, this is a turning point in a lot of people's lives to question their faith. Mm-hmm. Right? And so whether it was more political on the campuses when it started that way, mm-mm. and that was, but this is the thing that I would say is that when he made a direction toward who his audience was, mm-hmm. he understood the fact that the youth of our country, mm-hmm. was who the enemy was going after, and he was wanting to turn people to make them question mm-hmm. where they are at this moment mm-hmm. in life, whether mm-hmm. they were 18 or whether they were 25. Mm-hmm. But that age group was so important mm-hmm. because they were coming out of Christian homes, mm-hmm. some of them, right? And I just heard a pastor this morning talking about the campuses and that they have been a breeding ground.
Absolutely.
For atheism and just uh-huh. turning away from God. And what he did was he brought common sense, mm-hmm. grounded in scripture, and not everybody agreed with every single talking point that he had. But
because they don't agree with the Bible, with the Word of God.
He would bring it. That's what I was just going to say. He would bring it back to the Word of God. Holy Spirit is the one that lights the fire in him. He can put all the kindling around him that he wants.
And the anointing that
but
he had.
But it was up to the individual person. Like Keith was just saying, the people out in the audience, they may be able to have a conversation in their own head, checking their own heart, and then finding out what God is doing in their life. It was brilliant. I mean, his plan was brilliant. And again, not everybody agreed with him, and I understand that. But he had an ability to bring it back to the Word of God and then have a conversation.
And also, he was the most well-read. So in addition to knowing the Bible,
the history,
he was like like I told you, at a PhD, he was a student of
and
theology.
He didn't go to college.
Did not go to college, student of theology. He read voraciously books. Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave him an anointing to remember different facts that just spewed off his
brilliant.
Lips. I pray for that. I'll be honest with you because I don't want to, like, whenever he spoke to people, he always had quick facts to come back at. Mm-hmm. And they were facts. They weren't, like, fables. Mm-hmm. It was actual truth that he came back with.
No, and he could come back with scientific things that's like, how do you know that?
He said he read 100 books a year.
Yeah.
Really?
100 books a year.
See?
In one of his debates because the guy was going to school and he was arguing with Charlie. Charlie said that, you know, you don't have to go to college. And that was the argument right there, what started it.
Oh.
And so, and this guy was, you know, he was going to school and Charlie brought it back to, you know, because he was a philosophy major, I think. So Charlie was bringing names up.
And he didn't
in
know
philosophy
the names.
And he didn't
I
know
saw a video
names.
That he did it with economics.
Right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what it was. It was economics. Uh-huh. Excuse me.
No, that's okay.
Right. So Charlie knew, but Charlie said that he read 100 books a year.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, gee whiz.
Sorry, anybody who knows me, I'm not reading 100 books a year.
No. But the word says we have to be ready to give a defense of our faith. So, to me, that means we need to prepare as much as we can to talk to college students. Stephanie said he had the foresight to know that this younger generation was getting stolen by the enemy.
Mm.
So he read more than probably most of these college students he debated with, and he was able to converse with them.
He welcomed them.
Yes.
I mean, that was his
that was
his
beautiful.
Whole thing. It wasn't like, you know, what was the slogan on the front? He said, prove me wrong.
Yes, that
he
was
say,
one of
prove
his
me
tours,
wrong. And,
his
and
last
it,
tour.
A little bit arrogant there, prove me wrong. But at the same time, he would sit with them wherever they came, whatever side or whatever angle they were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard him give advice. He was so precious with some of the little ones that
he
would
was.
Come up
yeah.
and give advice to them. And it was always, always on faith.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter what question they were asking. Mm. He just, you know, yesterday I had someone that was asking me something. We were talking about, you know, what would you do differently and with your children, bringing your children up. And the one thing that I said, you know, I think that I would have taken chapters of the Bible, and I'm sure there's people out there in our listening audience that have done this with their kids, and I applaud you, but learning chapters of the Bible, not just verses.
Because then you have the context.
You have the context, and it becomes living inside of them. And listen, we know that whatever the Bible talks about this or scripture to this, but in general, just common knowledge, that whatever a child is taught, that's where they're going to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scripture says teach them the word of God and it won't,
won't return void.
Right. And so that's the most, if I had any kind of knowledge for any young person out there that has children or getting ready to have children or children in the future, put the word of God in front of them and teach them gently.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and amen. And look at what the enemy is trying to do, right? With the kindergarten kids and with the first through fifth graders, the enemy is trying to influence their minds with the garbage that comes out, right? We were talking about last week. We brought that President Trump awarded the medal. He honored the 12-year-old. Who had to read a story to a kindergartner, and it was...
And he disagreed with it.
Right, who disagreed with it completely, right? Because it was on trans activity or whatever, and deciding who they wanted to be as a person, not who God created them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So This is where Charlie knew that it was all about the minds that are being shaped and molded.
Yes.
And my son, I always tell him to read a proverb a day, right? In the morning,
good.
Right? The wisdom of God,
good.
Right? And to guide his steps. I always ask him to read a proverb a day.
Yes. Is it one verse or the whole chapter? Because since there's 31 chapters, I've heard
31
people doing
chapters.
It.
Yeah, no, right. 31 chapters, one chapter per
that
day, right?
That is brilliant.
Right?
That is brilliant.
Today is what? Today is
the 16th,
right? So you go to Proverbs 16 to read Proverbs 16.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow you go to Proverbs 17. And that keeps the wisdom of God.
In front of him.
Good. And in front of us at the same time.
We're going to go to a break in just a minute. But the Lord reminded me of scripture that I want to share because it's kind of foundational to the heart of any believer when they face the challenges in the world, like Charlie did. I'll just read. It's from Jude, and because Jude is just one letter to Jude. But
okay, David.
But yes, but it's really written to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it because it's as I said, it's foundational for the work of any believer. Who is moving in the power of the Spirit in the world to bring the truth to those who don't believe. But Paul writes this, "Beloved, though I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation," which, by the way, he's saying this was the first thing this letter was going to deal with, and maybe the only thing this letter was going to deal with, "but I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints."
Mm.
"For once, that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." That's from the letter of Jude, verses 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as I said, foundational for any Christian life.
Right.
Well, let's go take a break. You cogitate on that while we're in the break. You are invited if you want to call and add to the commentary.
Can I just add one thing to that, David?
Sure.
Yeah, real fast, because it speaks right into the same, and it's Proverbs 25:26. Like a muddied spring on a polluted well, are the righteous who give way to the wicked.
Amen.
So if we don't speak up and if we don't stand out,
we don't have the luxury anymore of ignoring what's going on around us.
Right.
We are. If you're a believer, you're given the truth. You're given the Holy Spirit. You have certain gifts God wants to use, has always wanted to use them, but especially today.
So I was speaking with a pastor friend of mine this morning on the way over here, Pastor Bill, and he just brought somebody to the Lord this morning in a Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. The employee, he brought a woman to the Lord. So this is what God does when we move forward in faith.
Amen.
This is what God does in answer.
Yeah, and we have to take that first step.
And we have to take that first step.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to call 772-221-1100, that's 772-221-1100. Go to the break now. Be back in a couple of minutes.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation, born out of the 9/11 tragedy, helps first responders and their families in time of great need. Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu, along with former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez, are playing a benefit concert for them October 30th at the Lyric Theater in downtown Stuart. Be a blessing to those in great need and enjoy a superb evening of wonderful music. Information on tickets is available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone at 772-286-7827. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to Biblical Response, and we continue to celebrate the life of Charlie Kirk and look pretty closely at his ministry and the impact of that. So I'm going to throw the ball again out to Stephanie, way down there, who's got some wisdom for us.
Yeah, I was, you know, as we all did, go on the internet and see what was going on again, and some of the wisdom that has come out of this through pastors and different people that are able to get people's attention and has, you know, a big audience or whatever, was talking about the fact that the bullet hit his neck. And we don't want to go into all of those details. However, it does have a significant meaning or something for those of us who are looking at it maybe from a spiritual aspect. And that is that it immediately cut his voice off. There was no stance on, you know, it was just gone in the moment. And so one of the things that he was so passionate about was that when people stop talking, that's when you get violence. Mm-hmm. And that was something he said. The other thing he said was never underestimate the power of your voice and the impact you can have on the world when you speak up for what you believe in. Yes. And he was always diligent to take everything back to the Word of God. Yep. And the fact of the matter is, most people see him on the campuses now. I mean, that's where these reels are going. You know, that's what you see on the internet. Mm-hmm. But I think we talked about yesterday of the other things that he did. I mean, I've seen him twice now, just Florida Family Voice. I was up there in Orlando at the gala. And
he was the main speaker.
He was the main speaker there, and just brilliant. You can go online.
I saw that.
Yeah, you can go online and see it. He was talking with pastors that night.
Calling out the church.
He was calling out the church. And so his voice wasn't just to college students. It was, he also had a voice in the political realm. And I know that that's not comfortable for some people, but if we do not speak truth in all of these places, they will be overrun and consumed. They'll be open and empty, right? So they're going to be consumed by something. So our voice, wherever you see your voice, can be a light of Jesus. Mm. Step into it. Don't hesitate, because hesitation is, it's disobedience.
And it's fear from the enemy.
It's fear.
They're going after the church right now, right? They're going after the church, the devil. He tried to shut us down during COVID.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to water us down with not speaking up. And if we don't come back and combat that with truth, we're going to be consumed with evil. We have to push back with truth. And that's what Charlie Kirk did. And when you said that some people may disagree that he spoke politically, and I'm like, I mean, come on, really? I mean, this is the verse he always used. Charlie always used, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:7. When he was always asked, why get involved in politics? Because we're supposed to seek the welfare of where we live.
That's so crazy. That was he could scripture. He could take it off the top of his head. I mean, we sit here and read it a lot of times. It's like,
and that's why
he just boom, boom, boom. And that was, that's, to me, that is so impressive. And I have friends that can do that. And I'm like, oh, Lord.
I pray for that. I pray for that.
I do, too. I ask the Holy Spirit, just please remind me what that scripture is and where it is. Oh, dear.
The word living within him. Mm-hmm. The word living within him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't always. I mean, we all have
things. He grew in his faith.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah. He was a teenager and when he started Turning Point.
Yes.
He grew. And he, you know, there was some wisdom that probably needed to be taken by him sometimes.
Yep.
I'm sure. He never stopped learning. You never stop learning.
Mm-mm.
And he gave the address at 18 to the to the Republican Party.
He gave what?
He gave the address.
Address at the convention.
At 18,
you mean
at the convention?
You mean
right. Republican
one second.
Convention.
We have a phone call.
We have a phone call. On you're on the air, caller.
Hi guys, how are you? John Nelson, Family Recovery.
Hey John, how's it going, buddy?
You know, I love what's being talked about. I love all the coverage that it's getting. The one thing that really astonishes me is they have gunned down a Christian man in open daylight in front of his family, and a lot of people in this country aren't even that. That's what kind of upsets me. What do you guys think?
You think that people are not mad?
Well, there's a lot of people. There's a huge movement going on because he's been turned into a martyr. But I have, you know, I'm a street minister, and I deal with a lot of people that are liberal, and they don't have any feelings of bad towards it whatsoever. Like, it was okay to shoot this guy. I mean, there's a lot of people in this country, you don't realize it, there's a lot of people that are okay with what they're doing.
Am
I the only one feeling this, that, you know, maybe they're seeing just how far they can go and get away with stuff in America?
No, John, I don't think that you're the only one feeling this, but I think that we were trying to today's program, we're trying to illustrate the love that Charlie had. We know
the guy was amazing.
Yeah.
If you see what just happened in London, 1.1 million people marched on the one day over the weekend. You realize that the Muslim church has taken over Europe.
Oh, yeah, we know what has happened to Europe because of the gospel.
I mean,
yep. They've lapped.
Scotland and all of them, I mean, they have taken over. Christianity pretty much they try to wipe it out. And that's what they're trying to do here. And it's not taken away from what he's done, because there's no doubt that the guy, he was a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He was Junior Billy Graham. Want to go there.
One of the things that we really want to do today is honor him but not idolize him, and we understand that, and mm-hmm. the thing is that there are people that don't understand the honoring part of it, and I'm not saying you're not, I'm saying that what you're saying is there is a huge part of us that we've even talked about this a little bit yesterday, was that we want to make sure that we are honoring what he did and why he did it. And so mm-hmm. that maybe we should have, you know, maybe
they
maybe we should have said that at the beginning, but honestly
we did.
Yes.
I'm trying to take away from what you guys are directing.
No.
Listen, WCNO some great talk shows, and
no,
I think it was well needed. And what you guys do on a weekly basis, like I said, I'm a street minister, we help get people on human trafficking. I lost a wife.
Thank you.
But I was at a birthday party Saturday for 9-year-olds. I had 3 moms walk up to me and say, we're scared to death of what's going on in America.
Mm. Listen, John, thank you for what you do, because honestly, you're on the front lines, brother, and this is, we will be tortured for our faith. I mean, Christ.
We will. I mean, I count it all joy. I mean, some people.
Yeah. Supposed to.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be bigger than life more than ever because of what they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
It backfires on the devil.
It does.
Amen.
It does.
Yes, it does. Always does. He never gets it right.
Okay, guys.
Thank you
for
calling.
Thanks, John. God bless you, buddy.
Have a good day, guys.
Good you to hear too. From you, brother.
Thank you. Wow, it's always That's great so to hear good. From John.
What was he saying? He was saying that a lot of people are not that affected by his death. I was like, what? That's
no.
not what
I
was a little confused.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, no. Stephanie.
I think he was just bringing in the fact that
there's a whole bunch there of
is,
people.
Yeah, there is a multitude of people that were celebrating his
yeah. yeah. So, oh, that doesn't surprise me though, because no. the evil yeah. that's no. out there.
Yeah.
It just shows how there's a clear line between evil and good, and you could see the evil so visibly after this death.
Here's the thing though.
Yeah.
We cannot give in to fear. And I
no.
You know, his life was 31 years old.
I know.
I mean, he didn't even live as long as Jesus lived. I mean, not comparing him to Jesus, but I'm just saying, you know, he was very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And God had given him a voice in this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And through the sovereignty of God, God knew that Charlie Kirk was not going to be alive.
Yeah.
This is my belief of the sovereignty of God.
I agree with you.
In that moment, no matter how the enemy took him out, you know, this is what. And so the sovereignty of God is the thing that if you're fearful, read on the sovereignty of God, know the holiness of God, read the sovereignty and the scriptures and understand why the sovereignty is so important to our faith. Because God is in control of all of this, whether we want to think he is or not, and don't understand it. Go ahead.
And the Lord had him marry a beautiful woman in Erica.
I did not know she was Miss Arizona. And
in 2012.
Then
yeah, she was married.
Yeah, I had no clue.
Most importantly, she was such a woman of God.
Oh, yes.
And
absolutely.
When she had the courage to get on TV and basically talk to the millions of people who are mourning,
yeah.
and you could tell just by looking at her face that there was this change, right? Like kind of like the Holy Spirit giving her this courage as a lion and speaking like, you will not silence what you have think you have done. We're going to come back more. I mean, it was, did you guys all watch it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I did.
It was powerful. And this is what, I don't know if people know Benny Johnson. He's a conservative activist. He goes, he put on his Instagram, "You're only just beginning to see the revival."
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk was God's instrument. What the devil meant for evil is being turned for good, because this is turning people and sparking a revival.
What it's doing, it's putting in each individual's heart to check your heart. And that is the thing that I would caution people on. I want to caution people. And I say this for myself, because I do this not as often as I should, but taking it for ourselves first and making sure that when we are wearing the shirt of freedom or wearing the shirt of I am Charlie or whatever it is, that we are looking past Charlie and looking at the cross and looking at the sovereignty of God in this. Because if you don't, then you're just cheering for something that has no, I mean,
It's the same thing with President Trump, right?
Yeah.
Charlie was championing President Trump, right, through the cross. Right? Through the cross, Charlie was championing President Trump. President Trump is a believer. He's a brother in Christ. And Charlie Kirk stood for righteousness and supporting that righteousness.
He stood for liberty and freedom. And he saw that because of the president's policies, he was allowing us to live in liberty and freedom, which God ultimately died on the cross for us to live in a free world. So, yeah, he was very much a
And just
supporter.
To go back 1 second, Ann.
Yeah.
Erica, on their fifth wedding anniversary, she wrote, "Let God write your love story." She wrote, "To let God write your love story," on their fifth wedding anniversary. So,
you know, one of the things, too, that he was interesting when I saw this exchange between him and a man that was questioning his faith because of different issues, political issues and things that for good reason we need to be against, because the word of God is against transsexual, you know, bisexual, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, "Are you sure you're a Christian? And he said, you're questioning my Christianity." He said, "I am a Christian." He said, "I'll say this, part of being a Christian is appropriately interpreting what what theologically says for the individual, but also means to be long-suffering, patient, and loving and kind. Mm. Jesus Christ talked to all people. Jesus Christ went and did his ministry through Judea, Samaria, and he had dinner with tax collectors, and he had dinner with prostitutes, and he had did his ministry in every part of the Mediterranean. And this is the piece that I got out of it. What it means to be a Christian, my friend, is to be open-minded but firm in your beliefs, so you can have that belief. But if you say there's something inherently wrong with communication or associating with them just because they make different personal choices than you, then you, sir, are not a conservative. Thank you for being here tonight. So
love
he was,
that.
Yeah, he was love very that. Direct. And
what a breath of fresh air to have directness like that, right?
Absolutely. It does challenge certain people that are uncomfortable with the truth and with being that direct, you know, but that's the way
it's always
been.
Give me the truth. Give me the truth.
Amen. We're going to take another break. You're welcome again. This is about a four-minute break, but you're welcome to call 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100 if you want to make a comment or ask a question on the air.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and my Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and my Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
And welcome back to the last part of A Biblical Response. We have been talking about Charlie Kirk, celebrating his life, and encouraging people to take a longer and harder look at how God used him, because there's so much in there that we can teach us.
Absolutely.
About how. And I was just going to say in the beginning, just throw this out, we're kind of moving in this segment into a call to action, which is where we kind of want to look at what God's calling everybody to do. Charlie Kirk has cast, even in his death, cast a long shadow. He was some people would say a spiritual giant, and I'm not going to disagree with that. I could think of others that we know in our contemporaries who've passed. Billy Graham probably was also someone to be described in that way. But when it gets down to the level of my life or your life, we have to be presenting ourselves to God to say, as Isaiah said, here I am, send me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here I am, send me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a clue what you want me to do as you're sending me. And most of us, we would say that is true. But if you're a believer, if you're a God believer, if you're a born-again Christian, if you haven't yet figured it out, God has a particular plan for your life. He's already given you the gifts and the skills you need to do his will. And what he wants you to do is listen and pray, so that as you say yes to God and as you move out in what you know is the ministry he's called you to, you will be yourself, your unique self, with all your wonderful gifts, doing exactly what God wants you to do. And what that ministry becomes is going to be up to God, not up to you. And I say this because many people will say, I can't do what Charlie did. Well, let me tell you, God is not calling you to do what Charlie did.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
God is calling you to do what you can do.
That's right.
Through him.
This is what Charlie said, and he prayed this before every campus visit. God, use me for your will. What is his will for your life? It's different for every person.
Yeah, and he also said, I'm far more interested in what God wants from me than what I want from God, which is interesting, because a lot of times we want God's things, but we don't really want God.
Mm.
And so if we're serving him with what we are doing,
mm-hmm.
and it's not all about doing, it's believing and forgiveness and all of these things that God calls us to forgive others as he forgives us, right? And one of the things that you said, David, and I honed in on this word, is unique. Charlie Kirk was uniquely created for this moment, for this purpose. And that is how every single solitary person is, whether we want to believe it or not, no matter what mm-hmm. we think about ourselves, no matter what we think about what other people think about us, he wasn't afraid to step out in that. And we talked about this a little bit. You brought it up yesterday, David, about what his last name means. And I didn't know that Kirk meant church, but
in Scottish.
But I did know that Charlie meant free man.
Warrior.
So
warrior.
It's both. It's free man and warrior. So you put those together.
Wow.
And you think about his mother and father gave, well, the Kirk was already there, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was through the beginning of time. God knew that last name was going to be Kirk. And it's just ironic, so to speak, how our names, you know, it matters what you name your children.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. There is something unique about that child
mm-hmm.
that, you know, God has ordained that from the beginning of time. I'm always amazed at his sovereignty. It just comes back down to the holiness and the sovereignty of God to watch Amen. It being played out in people's lives like
yeah.
Charlie.
Absolutely.
You know, after this happened, I'm wondering, and I don't know why we haven't got more calls to me. That I'm like, why?
Maybe they need the number.
Why?
We've upset them prior to this conversation. 772-221-1100.
Right. Has this caused you to get on your knees before the Lord and like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Can you tell me the state of our nation? Because I know that, you know, when I talk to others, they're like, the Lord has been waking me up in the middle of the night. And he's like, you need to make sure that you're sanctified completely before the Lord. Is there any unforgiveness in your life? Is there any idolatry? You really need to put yourself before the Lord. And this is not a fear thing, but really put yourself before the Lord and like, Lord, what do you want of me now? Speak to me. And I always hear the Lord tell me, sanctify, consecrate, 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 which I'm like, Absolutely. You know, what are you doing?
So
has this sparked anything in you? Call.
Let me ask another question to that. What is cutting your voice off? Is there something in your life that needs repentance? Look, I'm there, you know. We have things that will cut our voice off. Esther 4:14, it's a mandate. Mm-hmm. If you do not speak, help will rise from another place. And we look at Charlie, and he accepted that call. He said yes. Mm-hmm. And there, I mean, you guys are all sitting here in this room because you said, yes, I will come and do what I need to do here. And it's not easy. What we do here is not always easy. It's not on Charlie Kirk level, but it is preaching the gospel. And am I perfect? I will be the first to say no. And so much so that, you know, I mourn some of the things that have happened in my past, and I mourn some of those things, but has it cut my voice off? I would say no, but I think everybody has to look within inside of themselves and say, what is your voice and where is God taking your voice? Is it to your neighbor? Is it to a small group at church? Is it to your children?
You know, Stephanie, one of the things that I think that the Lord has been telling me, and I go out onto the street, for some people who don't know, I go out onto the street, and I've experienced people getting into my face. I've experienced, you know, friendly hand gestures. I've experienced
the whole gamut.
You know, people yelling. But one thing that, you know, and I sometimes I'll feel guilty, like I don't belong out here. One thing that the Lord is really showing me is that Jesus died on the cross for me, took away all my sins, right? Because guilt tries to overcome us sometimes so that we don't do what we're supposed to be doing, or we don't do what God
made.
Get
rid of that guilt.
What God assigns us to do. And it's just something that if we can come to the knowledge, if we can really come to the knowledge that God gave us Jesus Christ as the sacrifice, as the final sacrifice, and that we lay it, and that Jesus took it all upon himself.
Yes.
For us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That lifts everything off of our bodies.
Yes.
That lifts our, right, that takes the weight.
The power's in the gospel,
right.
So you just present the gospel, gospel that has
and
the power.
And John 3:16 is, it's for God so loved the world. And like Stephanie said before, you have to believe it. You have to know and believe that God loves you, each and every one on this planet.
Absolutely.
Right? And that he gave us Jesus so that we could walk in that freedom. And that's what the freedom was that Charlie was walking in. And that was the fearlessness that he had when he spoke, knowing and understanding in his heart that he was free from anything. Even if he said the wrong thing, he knew that he was forgiven for saying the wrong thing.
Yes.
He didn't edit himself as he was talking. He spoke. He spoke loud. And Psalm 37:31 reads, the law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not sin. And in Proverbs 27:19, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And it's your life and your heart that is your heart is shown through your life.
You know what? Satan thinks he had the last word. But this has poured gas on a movement that is bringing revival. It's fanning the flames of revival in thousands of young people and thousands of people our age. And we will pick up the torch and burn with that fire as we carry that message of revival.
Amen.
This is only just the beginning.
Yeah.
Only just the beginning.
You know, one of the things that he did was he didn't look at the here and now. He looked at the eternal.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what we're called to do.
And that is why he had no fear. It wasn't even about the fear here. It was that he had no fear in death. And one of the things that I was, as I was getting ready to try to maybe do a wrap up for today's show, the Lord took me to the end of the scriptures. Go look in Revelation. What does Revelation say about the end times? And we know there's a lot. So I'm not going to go in on everything on that. But I went to the very last chapter of Revelation. Revelation 22. It's the last chapter in the Bible, and it talks about Jesus's return. which all through Jesus' teaching, he would use the word soon. But as we know, that word soon was spoken over 2,000 years ago. And here we are all still sitting here waiting for a second return, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, Charlie spoke about that. That he was not silent about that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, perseverance in our walk is a huge part of our faith walk. And Charlie persevered every time he went on that campus or every time he got in front of an audience or whatever. 31 years, very young. But in Revelation 22:20, God is referring to the prophecies in the book of Revelation. But as we read all of Scripture, he's I believe it's speaking of the whole Bible as well. So here's what it says. 22:20 says, "He who testifies to these things," which is what is said in the Scriptures, right, says, "Surely I am coming soon." These are God's words to John. "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." So I want to encourage the weary and the burdened to draw courage and boldness and testify of Jesus in his life, using the fire that has been started and you know, making you question what God is doing. And then the very last scripture is this. Revelation 20:21 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. We don't have much time left.
You can't get much better than that.
No, you can't. There's really no time to take a call either, because we have about 3 minutes.
And in Charlie's death, all of his platforms have increased.
Absolutely.
Right. Instagram has increased by 5 million people.
Donations have increased. The number of chapters being opened have
TikTok
increased.
TikTok has increased by a level of 2 million people.
Yep.
YouTube personal has increased by 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube TPUSA has increased by 500,000. Mm-hmm. And plus, 37,000 chapters have been requested to be opened up. 38,000 through through
counting.
His death, right, and counting. Right, yeah, but who's counting,
yeah.
Right? 38,000. Right. And Proverbs 12, verse 28 says, "In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality."
Hmm.
Hallelujah.
And that's, Charlie Kirk's life, it will be immortal. His memory will be immortalized.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Through the grace of God.
Yes.
Through the grace of God, who has lifted him up. And Psalm 49, verse 15 says, "But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself."
Amen.
Hmm. And that, to me, you know, when I met Jesus and invited him into my heart, and it was then we began a process of transformation and revelation, because I then God had to show me what he planned for me all along. And I will also say, I have not attended to that perfectly. I have made some mistakes. I've taken my own path in the last 50 years.
And that's why he gave us Jesus.
That's why he gave us Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
But at the end of the day, I get on my knees and I ask the Lord, show me what I need to repent for, because I know I wasn't perfect today. But also show me, it doesn't hurt to ask the Lord, what did I do right? I may not know that either.
Well, I'm sorry, David. One of the things that, you know, God tells us is don't look back. Just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Keep moving forward,
The enemy can cause you to be living in shame and stay there.
Right,
you
it's
know?
Human nature, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with that. It doesn't hold you back, but the Lord does want
me
to...
I didn't say it doesn't.
No, but the Lord does want us to see the areas that he wants to work in our lives or needs improvement. So we kind of have to look in the wake of our life to see the debris from those poor choices. But then we move forward, and it's always a forward movement.
Right.
Well, and as we say, what we have moved forward now is to say goodbye. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the air next week, God willing.
Amen.
Be blessed. And
be blessed.
Listen to God. Don't listen to yourself. Don't listen to anybody else. But if first you listen to God, he'll tell you what to do.